started going here that I was coming after him. But let's stand and pray for our nation. We'll pray for Cuba as well. And we got word this morning from Gerard and Jane that their son Thomas will be deployed tonight overseas, where you wouldn't want your son to go without Jesus.
Amen.
So we're going to pray. Father, we thank you that we live in this country. And Lord, we are grateful for the freedom to stand in the pulpit and know that we can preach gospel today. Lord, we pray for our leadership. We pray, Lord, every day we get the news and we're like, what is happening in our country? What's happening in our world? Lord, we pray that you will reach down and rescue us.
Yes.
Your arm is not short to rescue, and we need a Savior. And his name is Jesus, as we have heard today. And Lord, we pray for our military that are in harm's way, and we think particularly today of Thomas as he's been trained to go to this place tonight. Father, you have equipped him spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically. He has gone through all of the training, and Lord, we pray that your angels will board the plane with him, that you will surround him with your peace that passes all understanding. For Gerard and Jane, they have put their son in your hands for many years. May they have the strength and the endurance and the peace to do it again today, Father. And for Cuba, we thank you for the report. We pray for revival from the lowest to the highest in authority. We pray, Father, that you will sweep over and do what only the Spirit of God can do. There's no boundaries or walls for the Spirit of God. And so we pray that you'll penetrate hearts today, especially in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I noticed this morning in the sound booth there's an awfully cute guy running the sound today, and if he asked me for lunch after church, I would say yes. And if he took me someplace nice, I hope he would open his wallet and pay for it and everything. So John and I have one of our sons, Philip, and his wife, Kayla. They live in Alaska, and they live in the Matsu Valley. And there is one highway to go from Anchorage to Fairbanks. To go from point A to point F to Fairbanks, you have to take this one highway if you're driving. And to get there, you have to go through the Matsu Valley. You cannot get to Fairbanks from Anchorage without going through the valley. For where you want to go and where you are, there are times where you can't get there unless you go through the valley. And so today we're going to look at victory by way of the valley. You can't get where God is taking you without a valley. You don't have to be alive very long to know that. All of us have been through those valleys. And so we're going to look today in Joshua chapter 8. The people of Israel have left Egypt, and they are gone 40 years. They've been wandering the wilderness now for 40 years. They were in captivity in Egypt for 450 years. Now they are 40 years in the wilderness. Moses has died. Joshua is the leader. The Red Sea has parted. The Jordan River has parted. The Jericho walls have come a-tumbling down, and now they are in the midst of conquering the land that is to be theirs, the promised land. And so that continues. In chapter 7, Joshua and the Israelites had a failed attempt at capturing the city of Ai. Blatant disobedience, hidden sin, was in the Israelites' camp. And God did not give the Israelites victory over the enemy in that instance. A man named Achan had taken the things that were meant for God, the devoted things, the things that were God's, he had taken them for himself and hid them under his tent. I mentioned to Pastor Greg, that'll be a good tithing message. Amen. See ya. He had kept for himself what was supposed to be set aside for God. and had hidden that under his tent. You can read about it in Joshua 7. And because of that sin, the battle of Ai was lost. The Israelites were soundly defeated. When the sin was discovered, Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, took swift and total action to completely remove the sin, to remove Achan and everyone and everything associated with him. Godly leadership does not and cannot tolerate sin in the camp of the believers, and Joshua took care of it. So all this happened, and now we get to chapter 8 of Joshua. And God is now going to tell Joshua to go back and attack Ai again. Yes, the place where they were just defeated. God tells Joshua to revisit and attack it again. My response to that would have been, no thanks, God. Been there, done that. It didn't work out so good the last time. I don't really need another defeat in my life. Thanks, but no thanks. But God looks at Joshua and says, okay, now let's go try again. Not a particularly warm, fuzzy feeling for most of us, I suspect. But this is what God is requiring of Joshua and the Israelites, to go back and this time win the victory. But this time, victory will come by way of the valley. Joshua and the Israelites will be victorious. They will win this time. But it's going to come through a valley. Not one amen. I don't blame you. That is not a yippee-yay moment. That's not, ooh, praise the Lord, we get to go through a valley. Going through a valley would never be my first choice. But victory is always my first choice. So if God says, you can get from here to the victory, but you have to go through the valley, I say, let's get going, God, and you'll take us through the valley. And so we're going to look at Joshua chapter 8 together for a little bit. Victory by way of the valley. First, victory is already assured and done before the battle ever unfolds. Before you get going, God has already said you are victorious. We're going to look at verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai. Now they haven't done anything yet, but God says, I have already done it for you. I'll give you into the, you will get the hands of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and his king as you did to Jericho. And of course, that was a resounding success. And its king, except that when you carry off their plunder and livestock for yourself, you get to keep it this time. Set an ambush behind the city. Remember, Joshua had a battle for Ai in chapter 7, and he was soundly defeated because of sin in the Israelites' camp. That sin has now been completely removed. No trace of it left. That's chapter 7. If I was Joshua and God said, okay, we're going to go around that barn again now and do another battle against that same enemy. If I was Joshua, I'd have been discouraged. I would have been defeated. I would have been despondent. I would have despaired. I would have had no gas left in my emotional tank or my physical body for another battle. But here he is, chapter 8. We get to just read these chapters. But Joshua is living this. And some of you today, you are living this. You're like, I just had a battle. And God, what are you calling me to do now? Are you kidding me? Really, God? Can't you have someone else fight that battle? God says, oh, yes, I have someone else to fight that battle, and his name is Jesus. Amen. So, God knows that Joshua, in the natural, will be afraid, will be discouraged, will be dismayed and fearful to go back and fight the enemy another time. God gets it. He knows how you are feeling about the battle you are facing, or you are in, or you just came out of. He gets it. He created you with emotions. He knows all about it. And he loves you enough to say, don't succumb to those emotions and feelings. There is work to be done and victories to be won ahead. Amen? Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged are the first words God says to Joshua. And I say that to you today. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Joshua does not have the luxury to stay in a defeated frame of mind. And neither do we as children of the Most High God. You can feel defeated, but you cannot drive your tent pegs there and say, I will now live here. You can visit defeat, but do not set that as your permanent address. No putting down tent pegs and saying, well, I guess we lost that one. I'm just defeated. I just give up. We do not have the luxury of doing that as children of the Most High God. God tells Joshua and God tells you today, you have the victory. I have granted you the victory. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Let's get going and gain the victory. So in verse 1 and 2, it says, God says, for I have delivered your hands to the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to them. You will win. I have already done it. God has already assured the victory and done before the battle even unfolds. Joshua has a word for you from the Lord. Joshua had a word from the Lord before the battle ever begins. And that word is, you are already victorious. You just have to walk out the victory. God not only gives Joshua the victory ahead of the battle, but he gives him the strategy to gain that victory. He tells him, set an ambush. God will speak and will give you a strategy to get through what you are facing and to get you into the victorious place he has already purchased for you in the situation. We just need to cooperate with God and his plan. So first, victory is already assured even before the battle ever unfolds. Secondly, we must cooperate with God to gain the victory. You don't have to know how to win the victory. You, in and of yourself, cannot do it. I can think of every scenario when presented with something that will go wrong with that scenario. It's a gift. I can tell you everything that will go wrong, and I'll be up trying to figure out how, if we did this and if we did that. But God says to us, you don't have to figure it out. We just have to cooperate with him, and he will give us the victory. Victory does not happen on our own. We must have the Spirit's strategy and help. Joshua, in chapter 7, when he went to Ai the first time, he never inquired of the Lord. He never asked God, how should we go forward with this situation so that we can win and have the victory? If Joshua had just said, God, you know, I'm thinking about doing this, and they're the enemy, I'm thinking about this battle plan and this strategy, God, what do you think? I'm certain God would have said, okay, but you have to deal with Achan first because he has sin in the camp. And if Joshua had just asked God, how should I proceed through my battle, through my valley, through my issue, God would have shown him to get rid of the sin, and they would have had victory the first time around. So this time, Joshua has to make a decision. Will I cooperate with God this time? How good is your hearing when it comes to God speaking? We go for hearing tests and we can't hear this decibel anymore or this tone anymore. How's your God hearing doing these days? Joshua was a little bit tone deaf in Joshua 7. And he's learned from that for this next battle. So here is Joshua, take 2 of the battle of Ai. God says at the end of verse 2, set an ambush. So what does Joshua do? He sets an ambush. He cooperates with God to gain the victory that's already been assured to him. Listening to the voice of God will always produce the results God intends. Because God always keeps his word. If you listen to God and you do it his way, it will always turn out the way God planned it from the beginning. So we're going to see how it goes. Verse 3. So Joshua and the whole army move out to attack Ai. He chose 30,000 of his best fighting men and sent them out at night with these orders. Listen carefully. That'd be a month of sermons right there. And a month of parenting classes. Listen carefully. You are to set an ambush behind the city. Don't go very far from it. All of you be on the alert. I, Joshua, and all those with me will advance on the city. And when the men come out against us, as they did before, we will flee from them. They will pursue us until we have lured them away from the city. For they will say, they are running away from us as they did before. They're such scaredy cats. So when we flee from them, you are to rise up from ambush and take the city. Set it on fire. Do what the Lord has commanded. See to it. You have my orders. Then Joshua sent them off, and they went to the place of ambush and lay in wait between Bethel and Ai, to the west of Ai. But Joshua spent that night with the people, cooperating with God's plan for victory in your life is crucial. Do what the Lord has commanded. You don't have to understand it. It doesn't have to make sense in the natural. He's a supernatural God. You cooperate with what he tells you to do. You do as he commanded, and you watch the victory come and unfold before you. It says here that the whole army moved together. Victory comes within the framework of community. We are a community. And victory comes within the framework of a community. They cooperated with God's strategy for victory. We are here at the Mission Church, and we are in it together. I don't care how many emails you get from me that says this one passed away, this one passed away. We are in it together. You do not need to walk alone. No matter the valley, no matter the sin, no matter the loss you have incurred, no matter the disappointment, no matter what, we move as a whole army together, as a church family, and we go through it together. We mourn with those who mourn. We buy tissues, and we mourn with those who mourn. When there are empty tissue boxes in the sanctuary, I'm like, that's terrific, because we mourn with those who mourn. We rejoice with those who rejoice here at the church. We pray together, we fight together, and we celebrate the victory together. Amen?
Amen.
If God has a perfect plan for your life, and he does, and if God wears the victor's crown, and he does, and if you are a follower of God, which I trust that you are, then the clear and obvious choice is to cooperate with God and do what he asks you to do, so that the victory is won in and through your life. And that includes working together in a team setting, in a body of believers. Joshua and the whole army of Israel followed the Lord's strategy. They set up the ambush instructed by God, just as he had laid it out. Pastor Greg, he doesn't have to have it all figured out. Neither does the trustees, no. Pastor Greg doesn't have to have it all figured out. As our lead pastor, he simply needs to cooperate with God's plan as God reveals it to him. He shares the plan with the leadership, with the board, with the church family, and then as an army of believers, we link arms, we get the opportunity to advance the kingdom, and we walk in victory together. Amen? When we were here yesterday for Anita Duncan's service, the family had purchased some food for the fellowship, and we had that in the Shea Hall. And someone came up to me and said, "We need to build that new sanctuary. This room is too small. We should have had the fellowship in the sanctuary." When God reveals the plan to God's man, the rest of us link arms and we cooperate with that plan and we watch the victory happen. Give to the building program. Oh. In Joshua's instance, in this instance, and in most of the instances in our lives, the victory, though, involves a valley. We have to go through something to get from where we are to where God wants to take us, to where the victory is. Jesus had to walk a valley, the walk to the cross, and then the cross itself, to get to the victory over death, hell, and the grave, and to give us the victory. And it was worth the valley, if you ask Jesus. He walked through the valley that we might have the victory. So let's keep going. Joshua, verse 10 in chapter 8. "Now Joshua rose early in the morning and mustered the people." That means gathered them. Now, if I was in children's church today, I would be pouring mustard on all of the kids because he mustered the people. "And he went up with the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. Then all of the people of war who were with him went up and drew near and arrived in front of the city and camped on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between him, Joshua, and Ai. And it took about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. So they stationed the people, all the army that was on the north side of the city and its rear guard on the west side of the city. And Joshua spent that night in the midst of the valley." This time, victory for Joshua and the Israelites was not going to be done by a miracle. The Red Sea was not going to part this time. The Jordan River was not going to part this time. Jericho's walls were not going to fall down from shouting and trumpet playing. For me, I prefer victory by way of the supernatural. If I had to choose, I would say, "Lord, victory by way of the miraculous works good for me." But for this instance, and I dare say for the instances that many of you are walking through today, victory is going to come by way of the valley. God's strategic plan, and to execute that plan, takes listening, takes obedience, takes action, and takes, I'm sorry to say, a valley experience. Oh, those pesky valleys. Do we look at a valley, at a gulf, at a chasm between us and the territory and the victory that God has promised to us and say, valley equal defeat? Or do we say, valley equal victory ahead? God brings us the victory by way of the valley. Joshua doesn't shrink back from the valley. He doesn't say, well, I don't really want to go through that to get to the victory, to get to the promised land more. He doesn't do that. He embraced it, knowing ahead of time the victory was already assured and that he was cooperating with God's plan to bring forth the victory. It just involved a valley. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. After that verse, it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How do we get there? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because God has the victory in hand. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Pete, I don't understand it. But I know that our God will take us through the valley and we will have the victory that he has assured us. Some of you know that my father passed away when I was 13. This month it is 42 years. 13 plus 42. Yes, really. And John Schreck looks younger, but he's the same age. So 42 years ago, I found out one day that my father had passed away when I was 13. That was the worst day of my life. That night, I laid in my bed, and as God is my witness, I remember saying this sentence, God, I don't have a father anymore. You are going to have to be my father. That was the worst day of my life. And that was the best day of my life. I had to go through the valley that I would never have chosen to go through to get to be born again and to know my Heavenly Father. Sometimes the victory comes by way of the valley. So it says in this last verse that I read that Joshua spent that night in the midst of the valley. All of us have spent a night in the midst of a valley like Joshua did. And for many of you, it seems like one very long night in the midst of the valley. Yet the victory that God had for Joshua and for you is coming by way of that very valley. Sorrow may last for a... Sometimes it is a valley long night. But joy, victory, was coming in the morning. So victory has already been assured before the battle begins. We must cooperate with God to gain the victory. Third, victory involves a battle. I'm sorry to tell you, but you cannot be victorious if you haven't been engaged in a battle. You cannot be healed if you have not been sick. You cannot have provision if you do not have lack. You cannot be saved unless you are a sinner. And you cannot have the victory unless you are engaged in a battle. In order for there to be a battle, in order for there to be a victory, we must be in a battle. The enemy sees Joshua that night, and he sees Joshua that night in the valley and thinks, aha, I've got him just where I want him. The one that professes to follow God is in the midst of the valley. Now is my perfect opportunity to attack. And you can just hear the king of AI salivating. And the enemy says, oh, he's in the valley? He must be down and out. We're going to get him. And then the enemy attacks. Starting at the end of 13, it says that that night Joshua went into the valley. When the king of Ai saw this, when the enemy saw this, he and all the men of the city hurried out early in the morning to meet Israel in battle at a certain place overlooking the Arabah. But he, the king of Ai, did not know that an ambush had been set against him behind the city. The enemy didn't know God's plan. You give too much credit to the enemy. We think the enemy knows everything. He does not know God's plan for your life the way God knows his plan for your life. You give the enemy too much credit. Let's start giving the one who wears the victor's crown the credit. No plan of God's can be thwarted, it says. And the valley was part of God's plan. And the enemy thought it was defeat. And God says, that's the way to victory for them. Continuing, Joshua and all Israel let themselves be driven back before them. And they fled towards the wilderness. There goes Joshua and the Israelites. All the men of Ai were called to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were lured away from the city. Not a man remained in Ai or Bethel who did not go after Israel, after Joshua. They left the city open and went in pursuit of Joshua and the Israelites. Notice the enemy is pursuing. It looks like the Israelites are retreating, that they're running away from the enemy. It looks like they're backpedaling from the position they had taken. But in that so-called pursuing, the enemy, Ai, was being led away from his own camp that was now going to be ambushed. God knows what he is doing in your situation. He is not confused. It may look like one thing. It may look like the enemy is just tracking you down and tracking you down and that you're running away and that the enemy is winning. It may look like the people of God are being pushed back. But then the great reveal happens and God is victorious. The ambush happens and victory is unfolding. So Joshua and the Israelites, they're running away. The enemy is running after them. Joshua turns around and he holds up his javelin and he points it towards Ai. He points it towards victory. That is not really a battle plan that you learn in boot camp. You don't say just to hold up your stick and the enemy will die. But that was what God's plan was for the Israelites in that situation. So he turns, he sees the enemy is coming, he points his javelin towards Ai. That's the signal that the Israelites that were waiting in ambush needed. They see the javelin, they attack the city, nobody's there, they set it on fire, they take everything, and then the Israelites turn, they see the fire, and they have the enemy right where they want him, in between God's people and God's people. And there's no way for the enemy to go but under their feet. And the enemy is defeated. They can't run, they can't hide. The enemy is vanquished. Victory was already assured before the battle began. We must cooperate with God to gain the victory. Victory involves a battle. And lastly, with the victory comes provision. With the victory comes provision. Verse 27, but Israel did carry off for themselves the livestock and plunder of this city as the Lord had instructed Joshua. Why do you think God had them take the stuff in the enemy's camp? Was it so they could have a great trophy wall? Nothing wrong with trophy walls. Maybe that's what it was. I think not. I think what God intended was to refresh them with that supply. It was to refuel them. It was to get them ready, to sustain them, to bless them, to have resources and to have the sustenance they would need for the next battle, which comes in the next chapter. It just seems like an onslaught, battle after battle after battle. And some of you, that's how it feels. You've been like those punching bags, and it's again, you're down, again, up, down, up, down, up, down. And they were going to face another battle in Joshua 9. But before that other battle, they gave them all of this blessing and provision to refresh them, to energize them, to say, hey, we won. We can win the next one. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me when? Just in time. The blessings of victory, abundant provision, peace, and rest in our soul all come to the people of God as we obey him. That was the clincher. They had to obey. With victory comes provision. Proverbs 13:22. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. God has more for you, and it is by way of the valley. As Pastor Chris comes, victory came by way of the valley for Joshua and the Israelites in this case. They were in the valley, and they were not going to get the victory unless they went through that valley. And they went through it. It's easy to talk about. It's difficult in practice. It's not easy walk. And I don't stand here and tell you it's easy. All of us in leadership walk through valleys, and we walk with you, and then we have our own. It's not easy. But I know a God who carries, who makes a way, who picks us up, who wipes our tears, who says, come on, victory ahead. There's victory ahead. In the 17th century, John Bunyan wrote a classic allegory called Pilgrim's Progress. In that book, there's a man named Christian. And he leaves the city of destruction to head to the celestial city. All through the journey, Christian comes across various distractions and crises, as well as encouragements. Christian, to get to the celestial city, leaves the city of destruction. He has to walk through the valley of humiliation. Once he's through that valley, ta-da, another valley. This time it's the valley of the shadow of death, where he almost turned back to the city of destruction. Bunyan writes, in the midst of this valley, Christian began to muse about what he had best do. Sometimes he had half a thought to go back. Then again he thought he might be halfway through the valley. So he might be closer to the victory. He remembered also how he had already vanquished many a danger, that God had already given him many victories in the past, and that the danger of going back might be much more than to go forward. So Christian resolved to go on. Yet the enemy seemed to come nearer and nearer. But when they were come, even almost to Christian, he cried out with a most vehement voice. I will walk in the strength of the Lord. So the enemy turned back and came no further. Christian can't get to the celestial city without going through the valley of humiliation, without going through the valley of the shadow of death, without going through some other valleys. And so it is with our lives, brothers and sisters, today. You can't get where you're going without obtaining victory by way of the valley. I will walk in the strength of the Lord. Let's say it together. I will walk in the strength of the Lord. And once you've won the victory, do as Joshua and the Israelites did in the rest of chapter 8. Be careful to renew your commitment to the Lord and to give him all the honor and all the glory, for it is his alone. Many in our church family, as Pastor Greg mentioned, have been walking through the valley these past 2 weeks. Bert and Jeannie buried their granddaughter. Mark and Brianna said goodbye to precious baby Reese. The Duncan family and our church family said goodbye to Anita Duncan. Pete Zamlowski buries his father Tuesday. Tim Ambrosi, his father passed away. Nancy Redioff, her sister passed away. I'm a little nervous to go home and check my email or check my phone. And then I think, don't be nervous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, as God told Joshua. I will walk in the strength of the Lord. You are going through a health crisis, some of you. You are going through a health crisis. I will go in the strength of the Lord. Some of you can't pay the mortgage. Thursday's March 1st. I will walk in the strength of the Lord. You're in a valley. But victory is ahead. Victory is assured. I will walk in the strength of the Lord. So, I know our time is past, but the children's workers will get to complain to me, so it's okay. And they're terrific. I shouldn't say they complain. They don't complain. But I want you to stand today, right where you are. Let's stand. And I want you to walk to your victory up at the altar. You are walking through the valley, but victory comes by way of the valley. If you have a health issue, victory by way of the valley. Come to the altar. The victory is here. If you need provision, that's a valley. Walk through the valley to your victory. I will walk in the strength of the Lord.